Week at Vacation Bible School. We're thankful again for the volunteers and their faithfulness to put on a program like that, that not only creates a fun, safe environment for the children, but most importantly, they hear about you and about your love. So we pray, Lord, that all those seeds that were planted would bear much fruit. We're just thankful again for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. We pray that as we study your word, it helps us to be better friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in week two of this series called Friend, in which we're studying what the Bible teaches about friendship. So last week we learned that a friend forgives. So this week what we're going to do is we're going to learn that friends should be trustworthy. So we all desire to have people in our lives that we trust, right? We all have that desire. We want someone in our life to trust. And more importantly, I think it is very important that we have people in our lives that we can actually trust. So the motivational speaker, Brian Tracy, said it like this. He said, trust is the glue that holds a relationship together. Some of you have been in relationships with people, whether it's a friendship, marriage, whatever, parenting, and you realize that if a trust is broken, it becomes very difficult to have a solid, healthy relationship. Would you agree with that? If trust is broken, and it takes some time, and it takes some work, and it takes some effort. So as a friend, you want to be a trustworthy friend. And when you're looking for a friend, you want to look for someone who is trustworthy. So today what we're going to do is we're going to learn four things about trustworthy friends. And the first is trustworthy friends listen to Jesus. Trustworthy friends, listen to Jesus. If you are a believer in Jesus, the top of your list as far as qualities of looking for a friend should be that the person is a believer in Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that, what I mean by a believer, is someone who believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for their sins, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove that he was God, that Jesus Christ said that all who believe will be forgiven of their sins and will receive eternal life. The top on your list, as far as friends go, should be other people that believe that message as well. If you are a believer in Christ, you should put that on the top of your list. When I'm looking for a friend, I would like a believing friend. I'm not saying that you should never befriend a non-believer. I'm not saying that at all. I'm also not saying that once you become a Christian or now that you are a Christian, you should look at your non-Christian friends and say, take care, you're not a Christian, so I'm not going to hang out with you, okay? That would not be good, okay? It wouldn't be good for your testimony and it wouldn't be good for them either. But what I am saying is in life, you need some Christian friends to walk through life with. Part of the reason why that is when you surround yourself with people, they impact you, right? They have an impact on you, whether negative or positive. You will eventually start to believe like they believe, talk like they talk, think like they think, do what they do. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, it was one of the last messages in the book of 1 Corinthians, that we studied, and it said this, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals or corrupts our character. So what we have to understand is this, that the people that you hang out with will impact you. So when you're looking for friends, you need to look for people that are going to sharpen you in your faith, help you in your faith. So trustworthy friends should be those people who believe in Jesus. Now, Jesus is the best example that we can have of friends. So what you have to understand is this. We know people that believe in Jesus. Maybe you are a person who believes in Jesus, but not every person that believes in Jesus actually listens to what Jesus says, right? Okay, a lot of us, sometimes we fall into the trap of like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I'm forgiven of my sins. But you know what? Like, I don't really feel like listening to Jesus. See, but what we have to understand is we need to also listen to Jesus. We need to look for people that are obedient to Jesus. Jesus is the best example of a friend. In Proverbs 18:24, that verse that I told you to turn to, it says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That friend that the scripture is talking about is Jesus. Now, one thing that we know about Jesus is he is good and he will never wrong you. but he also realizes that we need everyday regular Christians, right, in our lives that are an example of him to be our friends. We need friends like that. We need good friends that listen to Jesus, that follow his example. Listen to what Jesus actually said in John 15:12. Jesus says this. He says, "This is my commandment." He's talking to us. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." So there's a lot there, but the first thing that we understand about that passage is this. He says, hey, this is the way you should treat one another. You should love each other as I have loved you. And we're going to do a whole sermon on how a friend loves. But then he goes on and says, greater love has no one than this, than one should lay down their life for their friends. So we look to Jesus' example. He laid down his life to pay the price for our sins. So what he's saying is the greatest love that you could ever experience or ever give out is sacrificing for your friends. In this case, he sacrificed his entire life. He laid down his life for his friends. But then he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. So now we have to understand this. Friends of Jesus listen to Jesus. They actually do what he commands. The call of the believer is to follow Jesus' commands. So if you're looking for a friend that loves Jesus, that believes in Jesus, more than likely there'll probably be somebody who wants to listen to Jesus. And I would suggest this. If they want to listen to Jesus and they're trying, they're giving it their best shot, so to speak, they're going to be a better friend. They're going to be a better friend because guess what? They answer to Jesus. They realize my friendship isn't based upon how you treat me, but my friendship is based upon how I listen to Jesus. My friendship is based upon listening to him and answering to him rather than just answering to you. Because you and I both know that if you make a friend, at some point, somebody's going to mess up. Somebody's going to wrong somebody. So what you do is you look at your life and say, you know what? That friend might not be a great friend right now, but I want to listen to Jesus. He's my friend, and I want to be a good friend like Jesus, so I'm going to do right by them. Listen to me on this one. As a side note, when it comes to something like marriage, because in all honesty, we're talking about friendship here, but when you get married someday, or if you're looking to be married or you are married, one of the things that you have to realize is this. Look, especially if you're a young person, look for a spouse that listens to Jesus, that loves Jesus. I could tell you this, when you look for a spouse that listens to Jesus and loves Jesus, your marriage has a greater opportunity to be successful. Here's what happens in marriages. Feelings change, things happen. But if you have a spouse that you know answers to Jesus, you know, okay, they're faithful to Jesus. So therefore, there's a greater likelihood that they'll be faithful to me. They love Jesus. So there's a greater likelihood that they're going to love me like Jesus loves them. The point here is this. They answer to someone who's much, much bigger and greater than you are. They answer to Jesus. So when we look for a spouse, when you look for a spouse, you need to look for a spouse that loves Jesus. You know, it's a head shaker to me. And I know I talked about head shaking for 22 weeks in the letter of 1 Corinthians. But when somebody comes to me and says, oh, I really love this person. I'm interested in marrying this person. And they're a believer. And I say, is that person a believer? And they're like, well, I'm not sure. I'm like, really? You mean to tell me the first thing, if Jesus is the most important in your entire life, if you would say that Jesus is the most important to me, you found a person that Jesus is 10th, 12th, 15th, 20th on the list, maybe didn't even make the list? How does that work out? How is that going to work out for you? And I'll tell you, I've been a pastor for 22 years. It doesn't work out for many people. It's a tough road for many people. So, listen to Jesus when it comes to picking your spouse, but not only that, when it comes to picking your friends. I mean, when you're looking for a friend, you should be looking for some like-minded people. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't befriend people that don't believe. I'm not saying you should ditch your unbelieving friends. I'm not saying that at all. But if you're looking to walk through life with people, lifetime type friendships, the common thing that you should start with is that they listen to Jesus. they're going to be more likely to be a trustworthy friend when they do. Trustworthy friends, the next thing is trustworthy friends are honest. Proverbs 14:5 says it this way. It says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. We can all agree that being friends with or being around someone that lies, it's very annoying, isn't it? If you don't know what the truth is, if they're lying to you, you're just like, this person, I can't deal with this. Have you had this experience before? Somebody who just lies. I like how that passage just says, breathes out lies. That comes with the idea of just like breath, just like the necessity to breathe, they feel like they need to lie. They can never tell you the truth. And you know what? People justify this stuff, don't they, right? We've heard these white lies, fibs, half-truths. Well, I didn't really lie. I just told you half of the truth. You know what Albert Einstein said about that? Very smart guy. And he said this, whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. You get that? Whoever is careless with the truth in small matters can't be trusted in important matters. See, lies in small areas, even though people justify and say it's white lie, fib, half-truth, lies in small areas, what it does is it reveals a character defect. It reveals that you're not trustworthy. And guess what? If you're not trustworthy, you're not going to find those deep friendships. If you're looking for someone and they're not trustworthy, they're not honest in all areas of life, what's going to happen is you're going to realize this person is not going to be a trustworthy friend. But you know what? When we have friends that are trustworthy and honest, it actually helps us become a better person. Do you realize that? It actually can help you and I become a better person. When you find that friend that's honest with you, it could actually help you grow in your faith. And here's how. Some of you remember the scripture reading that was just read this morning. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You know what this proverb's teaching? This proverb teaches us that a friend that is honest with us, even when things are hard to say or we don't want to hear what they have to say, when they're honest with us about those things that are going to be helpful for us, that's the type of friend that you want. Somebody who's not going to just flatter you, but somebody who's going to tell you you're wrong when you're wrong. They're going to honestly confront you. They're going to be the type of person that looks at your downfalls and your shortcomings and actually helps you to understand those things. When they do that, when they're honest with you, here's what happens. It helps you grow in maturity. At times, it protects you from making critical life mistakes because they're that friend that's honest with you. They care enough to tell you the cold, hard truth about what you're doing, about what you're saying, about who you're around, about the things that are going to harm you because they love you. They care deeply for you and they want to be honest with you. I know for many of you, this can be very hard. I know for myself, this can be hard. You love a friend, you see they're going the wrong way, but it's hard sometimes, right? It's hard to tell them that they're doing the wrong thing because you don't want the conflict, right? You don't want to offend them. You're thinking, oh, if I'm honest with them, they might be upset with me. But the truth is at some point, they will look at the situation and thank you for being honest with them. Thank you for telling them straight because they've been surrounded by people in their life that haven't done that. That's why it says deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Somebody who doesn't care. Oh, go the wrong way. Follow your heart. Do whatever you feel like doing. Don't listen to God. Listen to me. Listen to yourself. This is a problem. So the honest friend can actually help us and guide us. That's what the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 12:26. It says this, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Do you realize that if you fail to be honest with your friend, you could actually lead them down a path that brings more harm to them? They're going a certain way, and maybe they don't even realize it. Or maybe they willfully realize it, and you're the person that God has placed in their life to step in and be honest because you love them and care about them. And guess what? You've guided them when you do that. But if you don't, here's what you're doing. You're kind of turning them loose, and you're just saying, you know, oh, well. Like, oh, how's that going to work out? I know that's not going to work out good, but I'm afraid to say something. I'm afraid to be honest with them. And you know what? I'll tell you this. If a person is in your life and they're not seeing how you love them and how you care about them and how you want to be honest with them, you might have a season of time where they don't even want to talk to you because you've confronted them, because you've called them out, because you were honest with them. But I would say this, press on because you're doing the right thing for them. Hopefully, someday, they'll come to their senses and realize that you really, truly do love them as a true friend should. So trustworthy friends listen to Jesus. They're honest with us, but they also do not gossip. That's our next point. Trustworthy friends do not gossip. Now, Proverbs 11:13 says a lot about gossip, and I'll just tell you right now, I could do probably a couple of weeks sermon series on gossip. But Proverbs 11:13 just says simply this, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Now, here's the truth. A true friend will listen to you, but they will also not tell others what you told them unless you give them permission, okay? So they're going to listen to you. They're going to hear what you have to say, but they're not going to broadcast it. They're not going to go tell other people about that. The scriptures actually warn us to stay away from people that gossip and slander others. Or in other words, don't make friends with these people. Listen to Proverbs 20:19. It says this, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. So the scriptures are actually saying, don't associate with this person. Here's what happens when you associate with this person. One, you might give in to temptation. You know what the scriptures say about gossip? It says gossip goes down to the innermost parts of a person. It's like a choice morsel. It's something they desire. Every time I think of that verse, I think of cookies. Some of you guys know I really like cookies. It's my thing, okay? And when I see cookies, I'm like, oh man, those things are going to be so good. That's how some people look at gossip. They have certain people in their life that come and they're like, oh, give me the dirt. Tell me everything about this. That's what gossip does for people. People look at it as like choice morsels. It's things they want to hear. So when we associate with a gossip, here's what happens. We're tempted to want to hear those things. The second reason why we don't want to associate with a gossip is this. People will start to then associate us with the gossip. They'll look at us and think, okay, that person gossips. They made friends with them. They must gossip a lot too. They must be willing to listen to that type of talk. And you know what? Gossip can be a tough one, right? Because everybody defines it a little differently. Have you noticed this? Like in the Christian community, a lot of times people share gossip under the guise of what? A prayer request, right? Oh, you have to pray for so-and-so. Here's what they did, and here's what they did, and here's what they did. But we got to keep them in prayer, you know? Have you ever seen? It's sad when Christians do that. It's sad when Christians do that, but they will. They will. Sometimes people don't feel like it's gossip because they only told their closest friend. And their closest friend told their closest friend. And their closest friend told their closest. See how the chain goes? Remember that telephone game that you used to play when you were a kid? And some people don't think it's gossip because they only told one person. They only told their very closest friend. But I think the way that we need to handle gossip is actually what I call thinking before we speak. And I know I've shared this before from this pulpit, and it's that THINK acronym. Like each letter in the word THINK stands for something, but it stands for something. It stands for we should think before we speak. So you should ask yourself these questions before you tell someone something. The T in THINK is true. Is it true? Okay, check your facts. That's basic. Is this even true? If I'm telling this to somebody, is this the truth? Or is this something someone else made up and I'm just spreading a rumor that's not even true? Is it something that I made up and I'm spreading that's not even true? Is it something that I think and maybe I feel, but it's not necessarily fact? Am I spreading this? But you know what? Some people fall into a big trap here. They tell people a lot of stuff because the stuff is true. They're like, it's true. So I'm justified in telling people that. But that's not the only question you have to ask yourself. The second question you have to ask yourself is the H. Is it helpful? Okay. Is this going to help heal a bad situation? Is this going to help all parties involved? Or is this going to make things worse? So many times in life, we spread things or talk about things that it's not helpful for the hearers and it's not helpful for the situation. So we have to say, me sharing this, if I'm sharing this, is this going to be helpful to all the parties involved? Or is this just really primarily for my entertainment and their entertainment? Ooh, guess what I know? Or guess how important I am to tell you this? Is it helpful for the situation? The next is the I. Is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? Is it going to inspire the hearers in their spiritual and emotional life? You know, sometimes something's true. You don't really have something much helpful to say or do with it. But you know what? You have this information, but it's discouraging. It's discouraging for other people. Sometimes people will tell me stuff. They'll be like, oh, so-and-so is doing this or so-and-so is doing that, not living the right way. And it's not even like, it's not inspiring. It's discouraging. I look at the situation and say, man, there's nothing encouraging about that. That didn't help me at all. It didn't inspire me at all. There's nothing I could do about that situation. It's not inspiring. Is it going to spiritually inspire and help other people in their emotional life? You know, I don't know about you, but you should want to be the type of person that when people are done talking to you, they're not discouraged, but they're empowered and encouraged, and they feel like, wow, I'm glad I had that conversation. I feel so much better. I feel so inspired and so encouraged today. The next is we have to ask ourselves is this necessary? Does this person need to hear what I'm saying? Does this person need to hear this? Sometimes we just tell people stuff and they have no business even knowing it. And that's where Christians get caught up because they're like, oh, it was a prayer request, okay? But the truth is it might not even be necessary for that person to know the things that they know. This, I'm going to tag this along with, is it necessary? Some people, have you noticed this? Some people love to bear bad news. Have you noticed that? Do you have somebody in your life like that? They love to tell you, oh, so-and-so died. Oh, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. And you're like, seriously? Like, why do you want to tell bad news all the time? Every time I see you, you're telling me some bad news. You know, I find in my own life, especially as I get older, I find like, I don't want to tell anybody bad news. Like, I'll know something. I'm like, I hope they find out some other way. I don't really feel like being the bearer of bad news. I don't want to look at their face and see the discouragement and see the sadness on their face. Hopefully they'll find out some other way. And you know, maybe I'm a chicken in that area. But here's the truth. Is it really necessary? Is it really necessary? And then finally, this is pretty much the simplest one that you probably learned from your mother or father when you were a little kid. Is it kind? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, okay? Is it kind? Am I carrying a message that is just unkind, that's just mean-spirited? It's just not nice to repeat. It's something that doesn't need to be spoken about. I've shared this before as well, this quote from Socrates. I really like it. He says this, strong minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. But weak minds discuss people. Think about that for a second. Think about that. And some of you might be thinking, you know what? I only discuss people. That's all I do. Okay? It's interesting, right? If you're on Facebook, what is your news feed? Is it news? No, it's people, right? Okay, it's people. And guess what? It kind of almost fosters this. I'm not speaking out against social media, but it almost fosters this. People, all they have to talk about is other people. Well, here's the thing. I want to give you some practical and pastoral advice. If you're struggling with what to talk about, here's what you need to do in your life. Here's what you need to do. Spend some time in God's Word. I can guarantee when you do, you'll start to talk about God's word. Spend some time praying to the Lord. I can guarantee when you do, you'll start to talk about the great things that the Lord is doing in your life. Spend some time working on learning a new skill. I can guarantee that you're going to wind up being around people that are trying to do things like that as well. Spend some time trying to make your corner of the world that God has put you in a better place. Spend some time thinking and talking about how you could be a better spouse, a better parent, a better friend, a better coworker, a better boss, a better child, a better church member, a better servant of the Lord. Wow, we have so much to talk about, don't we? We have so much to think and talk about. But so many people waste hours upon hours upon hours gossiping about other people. And guess what you're doing? You're just revealing that you're not a trustworthy friend. You're revealing that you're not a trustworthy friend. Remember, a gossip to you will be a gossip of you. Realize that. A gossip to you will be a gossip. You're making yourself out to not be a trustworthy friend to other people. And guess what? When you spend some time like the strong mind thinking of ideas and how to make yourself better and how to live a better life and how to make other people's lives better, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to draw people to yourself that are just like that. You're not going to have to look for friends like that. They're going to be drawn to you. They're going to come to you. The gossips will be repelled by you. If you're a gossipy type person, guess what? They're going to draw together. They like the company. They like to hear those choice morsels that go down deep to the innermost parts of their soul. They like to hear that. But when you do the opposite, you're going to draw those people to you. So those will probably be the type of people that fall into the group of the last group, and that's the trustworthy friends, let you be yourself. And I'm not saying your sinful self, but I'm saying they take you for who you are, for all the troubles that you have and the mistakes that you make and the person that you are, and they look at you and they say, you know what? I love you. You're my friend. Let's work through and walk through this life together. They're the type of person that you feel like you could be safe around. They're the type of people that listen to Jesus, and when you're going the wrong way, they want you to listen to Jesus as well, but they don't judge you. They come alongside you. They link arms with you and say, hey, you know what? I want to listen to Jesus. I know you want to listen to Jesus. I'm not going to judge you, but you're going the wrong way. Let's try to go the right way together. They're honest with you no matter what the situation is. They have a way of talking to you that makes you feel better about the situation, and it doesn't make you feel worse about who you are because they love you and they're your friend. You don't worry about telling this person something because it's going to stop right there. They're not going to broadcast the information where it doesn't belong. They're not a gossip. They're the type of person that's going to keep that type of secret because they love you and they care about you and they want you to be yourself. Thomas More, the 19th century Irish poet, said it this way. He said, we need people in our lives with whom we can be as open as possible with. Do you have anybody like that in your life? When you find those people, when you find that person, you're just like, yeah. I feel so safe and I feel so good. I feel like even if I have a rant, if I have a bad day and I say some stupid things that I don't even really mean, they're not going to be held against me. They're not going to be broadcast to everybody. They're going to know where my heart is. They're going to know it's just maybe a bad day for me or a bad response. They're that type of person. Those are the type of friends we need, don't we? Those are the type of friends we need. Those friends understand this verse. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Or in other words, they don't use stuff against you. Repeating the matter, they cover the offense. They give you the benefit of the doubt. They have your best interests at heart. They want to protect your reputation. They have your back. They're that type of friend. So in order to do that, these trustworthy friends will listen to you when you speak. They care about your concerns. They keep a confidence. They desire you to be all that God desires for you to be. So the question then becomes is, can you be this type of friend? Well, with the help of the Lord, I believe that you can be a trustworthy friend when you listen to Jesus, when you're honest, when you don't gossip, when you allow other people to be themselves with you. But then the question becomes this. When we find a person who does these things, they listen to Jesus, they're honest, they don't gossip, they let you be yourself, how do you know that you could trust them? Because some of us, some of you, may have deep-rooted trust issues, and you might say, okay, yeah, this friend thing, I'd rather just walk through life alone. It's much easier. You might not want to trust anybody. You might not want to put your trust in a friend. And I'll say this, you'll never know if you can trust them unless you trust them. Actually, Ernest Hemingway, he said it this way, and I'm going to close with this. He said, the best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them. Step out in faith and say, yeah, we're friends. I'm going to trust you. I pray that you will trust me as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day.